You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
As mentioned, I'm joined by Gabriel Sibanda, who is the director of Siga Electrical. It is Siga Electrical, right?
Yes. but we normally call it Saiga Electrical.
Saiga.
It's got something there.
Oh, some extra spice and all those sort of stuff. All right. Saiga Electrical. Is that an acronym? Does it stand for anything?
Yeah. It comes from the two directors, myself and the other one,
okay,
of which SY was the other director,
okay,
that is Shylock, and GA, that's myself.
Ah, okay, yes. That makes sense. So merging the two, initials there does make a whole lot of sense. How are you, Mhlekazi?
No, I'm super duper.
You look super duper, by the way.
thank you.
How was the day?
No, the day was good. Couldn't wait for the hour, and keep updating on social media.
Yes,
and some are asking, are we in the right platform or the wrong platform?
Did you tell them they're in the right platform?
100%.
That's fantastic. No, thank you so much for taking your time, and I really appreciate guests who come through to studio. It really means a lot, and of course makes this entire interaction to be very meaningful. Tell us a little bit about yourself before we even talk about your business, right, Saiga? Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you come from, and where you are currently.
Okay. It's been quite a journey in this business, I can say. Well, growing up, I think, not necessarily that I think, because I know.
Yes, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. And, growing up, I lost both my parents at age 19. And that was after, actually, I failed my high school education. So I only came out with only three subjects.
Yeah.
Imagine just having like life orientation and Bible studies and maybe some business skills. So, when you get to the tertiary education, then that doesn't amount to anything.
Exactly, doesn't take you anywhere.
So, but out of that, I think I challenged myself that that's not the end of the world. So I had to pick myself up, find the working conditions. You know, you get to find work, and sometimes you get peanuts. And there was a man by the name of Donald Sbanda who actually said, well, you seem like you know what you are doing. Why don't you maybe take a chance and open yourself a business and see where you go. Start doing your own thing.
Yeah.
And imagine, I think the last paycheck that I had with a bonus, that was 2008, I guess.
Sure.
It was 1,100.
And that was including the bonus.
Yeah, that was including the bonus. And
oh, wow.
You had to juggle out of that to register at CIPC and tax once their staff and all that. But, with perseverance,
here you are.
We can now talk a different story.
Oh, that's beautiful. I want to go back to the part around, perseverance after you left school. What made you not to give up?
Well, the first thing and foremost, I think when I looked at myself, I always see a better vision of myself. So that when I come to you, the reflection that I can actually get is what I believe in. I don't believe per se in, there's always say with the motivations, they will tell you that I built a restaurant with one rice, and you start with one rice, you won't get anywhere.
You won't get anywhere.
Yeah, so make yourself the rice and get there, then you're able to. So I think the self-belief in that you can do something out of nothing. And actually I've seen maybe people crying a lot about being historically disadvantaged. I think that also takes us back a lot because we think we deserve or we have a sense of ownership with the past that we must be compensated for. I think gone are those times, and we need to man up as young women and as young men and make the best out of ourselves, because if we don't, nobody will.
Yeah, and I'm asking that question precisely because perhaps as a young person listening right now and thinking, I'm also faced with the same thing, they want to give up. I was actually listening to a story yesterday of this lady who was giving testimony of the fact that her child is now in prison because they gave up on life and started using drugs, and they were caught with drugs as well. So it's easy for people, for a young person to give up. And here you are as an example to say don't give up.
Yeah, well, maybe to shoot straight, you know, when you're asking that, I've got, do I have the questions or not? Maybe let's touch some of the boundaries that the questions couldn't touch. At some point, I had, when I couldn't find work or something to do, got involved with a few guys, you know, these bad guys on the streets. Ah, no, let's go and rob some cell phones and stuff. I tried that. It failed. And I saw myself that if I continue in this, it's either I'm taking myself to jail or I'm actually destroying the rest of my future.
Yeah.
So if things get hard, it does not mean that there is no light at the end of the tunnel. Of course, some will ridicule and say, we'll never have light. And the belief that what you have been told by people that you won't make it, or the situation just deters you that you can't do anything. All that, if you put it aside and first start with yourself, that you can be something, then things start to move. They may be slow, but the one thing that I always respect, that I've always told people, is that God respects the decision that you make about yourself. So that when the future comes, God actually puts a signature on what you have said about yourself.
God respects the decision that you make about yourself.
Yeah.
I love that. That's really amazing. Your business, tell us a little bit about that. What do you guys do?
Wow. They always say the jack of all trades
okay.
is the master of none.
Yeah.
I guess I started there.
Okay.
I was tendering. You would supply stationery.
Yes.
You would go painting.
Yes. Yes.
You would go supply office furniture. You would go construction.
Mm.
You would be a plumber and all that. But then with time, and also with the advice of a few friends who were entrepreneurs around me, they actually said, why don't you actually narrow down to what you are doing because it seems like you understand it better. Then that's when I started to cut off things on the side. Then I remained within the electrical industry. And right through, maybe just to point it out also, the when I started the being an electrician, I was hired only to be a guy who's supposed to dig trenches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did that for a year. Then I was given a grinder and I was told that this is where you belong. Whenever we need a grinding person, that's where you must fit in. Well, I improved with believing in myself. I would sometimes do stuff that I wasn't authorized to do, like maybe somebody's putting a plug there. I'll just go and take a plug, put it up there, and be like, oh, okay. It seems like there's some self-development.
Yeah.
And after 2 or 3 years, the guy that had actually referred me to where I was employed, he then says, I am leaving this company. But when I'm leaving this company, I'm leaving you with this screwdriver. Do not lose it until you know the work.
Have you lost it?
I lost it 20.
No. You're supposed to lose it.
I lost it 2016 because I was now a pro.
So you didn't need that screwdriver anymore. Okay.
And between that phase, I actually took myself to school.
Oh, lovely.
I became a family man. I'm a father of three.
Yeah.
I forgot to say hi to my kids.
They're
Gabriella,
listening. Don't worry.
Gadiel and Graciela.
Yeah.
They are so dear to my heart.
Yes.
So between 2012, we opened the company. I started school then.
Okay.
and I officially finished my national diploma in electrical engineering. That was last year.
Nice.
Well, I was supposed to finish around 2017, 2018, but family responsibilities and stuff,
then
I had to stop because I was only remaining with one module, that which I did last year, a year but one.
Yeah.
Then last year, I graduated.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. But it seemed like you threw away the screwdriver before you graduated. This guy.
Yeah, well, sometimes when you get taught by the best teachers in the industry, they will tell you that, of course, the book doesn't matter. Yeah. What matters is the experience. But I chose to go for both experience and the book.
Yeah, lovely. And it looks like the electrical industry found you, right? And just from listening to you, it sounds like it was almost like God was leading you towards that industry. What makes your business different to all the others out there that are doing the same thing?
Well, for starters, I think what makes us different is the edge that we have to provide services that have got no return. In terms of return, I mean in terms of complaints or non-compliance.
Yeah.
So number one, we always make sure that whatever that we do it to the utmost of our ability so that when you remain behind, you are able, even after losing your money, of course, you are able to just get it and be like, okay, it's gone, but the service that I received is impeccable.
So are you saying other electrical businesses don't have the edge?
They might have the edge, but it differs on how you effect it and how you also treat your clients. I think the one thing that I've also learned in the industry is the respect that you must have for clients. Because, I mean, having the knowledge, the skill and the experience does not keep a client.
Yeah.
How you relate and you treat a client actually gives you the next business of the day.
Let's talk about that first client, right?
Okay.
That you got. I'm sure you can remember him or her or them, whatever it is. What was that like? How did you get that first client? And now this I'm asking, of course, in the context of your experience, but also there's an aspiring entrepreneur there. And without a client, there's no business, some people would argue. How did you land your first client and what was it like?
The first client that I can recall was a guy called Jason McCall.
Yeah.
He was actually referred to me by my uncle.
Okay.
Of course, I was not yet up to standard there, but he just said, "You are looking for an electrician. Here's the guy. He can do what you're asking for." And when I got there, the one thing that I would copy Senzo from SDA Twitter, who said, sometimes when you get to a space, for you to learn something, believe that you know and pretend that you know.
Yeah.
Then you can seek for information around that and effect it. So when I get to this, it's like, I know I need a plug moved there, and then I need this, then I need that, then I need that. Then, of course, after he had given me the summary, I went through a few guys. I know, how do I do this? How do I do this? And, well,
that's how it started.
I got my first paycheck.
Did you spoil yourself with that first paycheck?
Well, I think spoiling myself, I started, maybe let's say around 2015. Then you would understand that the first client that you have landed actually must carry the business maybe for the coming 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, you spoil yourself today, tomorrow you don't have
There's
money.
No business.
Well, and I was using taxis by then. You wouldn't have a car. If you want to go hire a car, it's going to be more expensive.
Yeah.
So
you
must make sure that what you have got, pay yourself a little, keep some for the future.
Yeah, true. And small businesses often, and I get the opportunity to speak to a lot, even on the show and even outside of this, would tell you that capital raising is always the most difficult thing. You know, you do find entrepreneurs who've got an opportunity, say it's worth, what, 2 million or whatever, but for them to deliver on the 2 million, they need at least 500,000 or whatever the case may be. How was it like raising capital?
Well, the shock of my life is that I've tried funding for some, I think twice, if not thrice, and I failed dismally.
Did you fail because you didn't follow the process, or you failed because the institution wasn't?
I think the institutions themselves, the requirements that they actually require from service providers, it's somehow stringent.
Mm.
And as an aspiring entrepreneur, you need to go over that and say, okay, even if I get funding, what is it that I can do to put my business in the space where it's supposed to be? And I think for the past 11 years, I've survived without funding.
Okay. Has it been difficult? Has it been easy?
Well, it's an up and down road because this month you can rake in at 200K. The next month you got nothing. The next month is... So it's always like that, but then it needs financial discipline.
Mm.
You cannot get 200K and pay yourself 100K.
Yeah, yeah.
It does not work like that.
Here I was thinking you can just swipe in.
No.
Go and swipe and swipe and swipe.
Just macam everything and all that. And yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. So there's a lot of cash flow balancing. There's lots of making sure that the finances are held. Do you do it, or you've got someone who helps you do that?
Well, myself, I have a tendency of just knowing the basics of everything. Mm. So, of course, I've got an accountant that does everything. But after they are done, they are always shocked because I'll be questioning what they would have put on the paper.
Yeah.
So it's imperative for every business owner, even if you don't like numbers. I don't like numbers myself. Yes. But when it gets to numbers and everything that has to do with the business, I always make sure that at some point, you give me a balance sheet and the profits are not matching up versus what you have given me. Then I start to question, how did you balance your books? Because from my point of view, this is how it this is how it seems to be. Then we get to engage. And in the process, you also get to learn more so that the discipline of your business is actually at your fingertips.
Yeah. No, I think more technical people like yourselves, engineers and electric, when it comes to numbers, like, they are no. it's a zero on that one.
Yeah, we don't like it. You'd rather give us just solve this.
Yes, you know,
the numbers are not friendly.
And those are very important for any business, right? You can know how to electrificate this whole building, but if it didn't make you a gross profit at the end of the day, it's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time and loss.
Yeah. So it's very, very important to have those. What drives you as an entrepreneur?
Well, the first thing that drives me is that, of course, as an entrepreneur, everyone is looking for money.
Yeah.
That's the end of it all.
Yeah.
But to me, I told myself that within the business, the first thing that we have to offer is service.
Okay.
Pure service that brings in a referral of clients. Mm-hmm. Then with that, you are able to make the money that you had not started with.
Mm.
So that's the main thing, because I was employed for some time and you would pass through some work, and I still do when we do our inspections, and you'd see that sometimes our fellow electricians did not do a proper job.
Yeah.
So that's what first drives us in the industry, to say we need to offer impeccable services to clients, regardless of the cost. Sometimes you get people that say, you are supposed to do a job for 1 rand, and they say, no, we have got 50 cents.
Mm.
So out of the goodness of the heart, sometimes it doesn't pay bills, you do it to the utmost. Mm. And trust me, as an entrepreneur, that person will bring you another person whereby you will recuperate all the money lost at the bank.
Yeah. Do you sleep at night, look at the ceiling, and come up with ideas on how to grow the business? You hear some people saying ideas come at night.
Well, I'm not sure if that's a fallacy or what.
Yeah.
But,
so you sleep when at night. You sleep peacefully and that's
Entrepreneurship normally doesn't come with that.
Yeah.
Because I was actually telling my boy Jethro that sometimes after dropping them, I get home, have some supper, a bath, relax maybe a few minutes.
Yeah.
Then I'll only sleep at 3 a.m. We meet in the morning. They think that I slept at 8, but you will see by the performance of the day, but we always mitigate that, you know.
Sure.
You've got the power reds that keep you awake.
Yeah. Just to go through the rest of the day.
Yeah, so within those challenges, while you are busy either working or solving something or trying to help out a client, you then come up with certain aspects of how you need to improve the profession you are in and the business, because you'd be seeing, it's like now you'd be working, then boom, there's load shedding. So what comes to your mind? You need to also have that innovation of seeing that your business doesn't lag behind. Yeah, one of my friends used to put up Nokia as an example to say they got stuck while the world was moving.
Yeah,
when they woke up, the world was gone.
Yeah. COVID, how has COVID affected your business?
Wow. Yeah, that was actually a big setback.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's nearly, I think, 2 years of no work.
Yeah.
So we tried our best, but as I was talking about being innovative and respecting clients, I actually landed one of the clients, I think it was the second mid-year of COVID. And this guy just appears from nowhere and he says, no, you know what, I need ABC done. I'm like, but this guy, we're out of COVID and business is low. Is he trying to test me? Then he says, no, I'm waiting for you. So I took 3 weeks to submit a quotation.
Because you are digitaling between.
I'm like, this guy is just wasting my time.
Yeah.
And trust me, when I submitted the quote, I submitted it at night. Then at 10, he says, I've looked at the quote. How much do you need? I tell him, this is how much I need. In the morning, it was in the account. And that was COVID.
Sure. Yeah, ne?
So innovation as an entrepreneur don't stay in one place.
Yeah.
And I remember it was the time when we started doing solar installations. So that was the first client that we did. So he then says, no, myself, I can see that this thing won't work for long. I need to be off grid. I actually went under COVID restrictions to Durban. There was one firm that was supplying the panels that we want. So that's where we went, came back with the panels installed, got paid nice monies, and of course the rest of the story, you know.
Well, we like the nice money part of us, tell you that. I think load shedding is becoming a problem in this kind of, well, it has become a problem in any case, and one that I don't think that the government has a solution to. So so I suppose that opens up opportunities for people like yourselves.
Definitely.
Which is really great. Sleeping at 3 a.m. Tell us a typical day. What time do you wake up? What time do you go to sleep? What happens in between?
Wow. A typical day, well, normally you wouldn't even fit in my day on a good business day.
Yeah.
Because I will wake up most probably around 5. By 6:30, I will need to be out of the house, drive the guys to site. While you're on site, at minimum, you get 3 requests that you need to attend before the sun sets. That would be the inspections, that would be the quotations and submissions. And you still need to take the guys back. So it's like maybe you might find that one guy is in Krugersdorp, then another calls from Benoni, and then the other one is at the Vaal. And in between, you still have to work, you still have to eat, you still have to balance all that. And sometimes you make promises to our daughters that I'm going to fetch you at 3. And at 3, you are at the Vaal. Man, the pain.
Yeah.
But we always try to.
Yeah.
When you get home, it's the usual. Eat, then get back to. Well, myself, I don't normally work well when I've eaten.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heaven.
Yes.
It's very strange.
it's funny because the guys that I also work with sometimes
also are like that.
They just tune in. when the pressure is hard, they just tune in. You'll just see one guy eating an apple there, but you'll feel the pain.
Sure.
Let's sit down and have some lunch. They'll tell you the work is ahead of us. Let's just finish, then we'll. So you'll find that when I get home around 6, 7, I just bath, take a cup of coffee or something, sit on the laptop until 2, 3, then, well, the supper will see it the next day.
Sure. So obviously that affects family life, personal life, friends and stuff like that. How does that one work now?
Yeah, definitely it affects a lot of things, but then it calls for discipline in that aspect, to know that as much as you can work, your body still needs to rest. I think over the past 2-3 years, I've tried to master that, so that at least Saturdays, I know that I'm at church full day. You call me on Saturday, I'll tell you calling me on Monday. Call me on Sunday, I play soccer and I do athletics. So I always tell you I'm not available Sunday, I'm at gym. So at least during weekends, I can balance that. Whatever that comes, slot it between Monday and Friday. But don't overpromise clients. That's where we go wrong.
That's right, because they expect you on that Sunday.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you can't be available.
So if you can't deliver, don't say a word.
Don't say
a word. You would rather postpone them, either lose the business or they wait for you. And if you are doing good in your line of work, they always wait for you.
They will always wait for you. That's true. That's certainly very true. Expectations versus reality. In entrepreneurship, what has been your experience? I'm sure you started the business like, we're going to make 100 million in the first 5 years. And then you start realizing, okay, maybe not.
Yeah, well, on the expectations part, as I've said initially, I've had quite a number of people that were entrepreneurs. So at some point, even if you are just having an honest, simple discussion, playful, they will throw in some tips that actually help you in terms of expectation. And the first expectation that I had was that when I open a business, all the Adventists are my client.
I can't. It's not like that.
Guess what? And Adventists, sometimes with paying, they are nice.
And I know you mean that opposite, right?
Yeah. I can't say much. I'll be censured.
Hey, we need to change, man, Adventist.
Yeah, I mean, we need to appreciate the effort that other people put through, especially with our field.
Yeah.
It's tools, it's education, it's time, it's experience.
Yeah.
So when a bill comes, it's not that I came and looked at a light bulb and said, the light bulb is out. That's experience to come in and do a one-hour job in 1 minute.
Yeah.
But I think also in terms of expectations, we need also to look at the clientele that you are going to face as a business, because the same clientele that you are going for, 10 other businesses are also going for that. So you need to know that you, out of those 10, you might get one or get zero.
I had someone in sales saying that it takes about 8 different engagements before you can land the client. Sometimes that 8 can be over a year that you're talking and trying to convince
Yeah, definitely. I think then it informs me that, especially in terms of entrepreneurs, I know people like to go for easy things sometimes, but it's good to have a skill. No wonder Jesus was a carpenter. Of course, we can take it lightly, but when you have a hand skill, not all of us can effect that.
Yeah.
And it becomes easier that even if when I come to you, this is the need that you have, and you can't chuck me out of your house or your house when you got no lights.
Yeah,
you'd rather negotiate for a 50 rand, but remain with the lights.
Yes.
So I think we also need to be informed, as much as you can love maybe to be a lawyer or something, but also have something in hand that can actually appease someone when they are in danger.
Sure, that's true. Any top success and top challenge?
Top successes, I think, for us as a business, we have grown from strength to strength. And in terms, of course, we'll have the challenges in terms of financing. Sometimes the projects come through, you don't have the necessary finance to complete that, and you have to mix A and B to come up with a C.
Yeah.
But out of all that, I think the victories have been certain in that we have persevered in the leakly that we get and in the large that we get.
I love that, putting A plus B and getting C. It's that's really interesting. What would you do differently if you were to start all over the business?
Wow, I think the business has actually taught me
a
lot that even if I can look back. Well, because if entrepreneurship doesn't mold your character first to become a better person, then having it easy doesn't actually, you don't even deserve it, or it's not applicable in the entrepreneurship. Because if we wanted, maybe I would have said, no, you know, when I opened the CIPC, I would have wished that maybe I now have 500K in the account so that I can have 10 employees and start paying. But then it does not give you the real essence of being an entrepreneur. And in any case, you wouldn't even inspire us.
Sure. That's really interesting. 5 years, 10 years, where's the business going?
Well, 5 to 10 years, depending on God's grace.
Yes,
well,
that's
that's the epitome of our operation. We're looking and seeing ourselves most probably covering the rest of the country in terms of our services and growing globally. And when one guy who does the websites was doing one website, I did a .com website.
Okay.
Yeah.
So global.
And, yeah. Then the other guy was like, but you are in SA. It should be COZA. Then I'm like, no. The vision is global. It's
global.
Not limited to South Africa only. So by God's grace, if he gives us 5 years, we need to be there. If it's 10, still we need to be there. But
you need to be there.
With perseverance and patience.
We were talking about your work that you do at Stasa. If you can tell us a little bit as well around that.
I'm the business cluster head for the Northern Conference, Stasa. And currently, we are focusing, or we made a makeshift so that we focus on young entrepreneurs. And that is to have first a database for every young entrepreneur that is upcoming, whether you're adversity. But as long as you're an Stasa member, we need to have you under our wings. So that with that, we can then network properly. I think we have spoken a lot about how Jews do their economy, how they support each other. And I think it's high time that we also bring it to us to say we can no longer talk about the Abrahams, but we can talk about us and develop. Because sometimes your success is lying in my hands. And I always say to people that sometimes the blessing that you must experience, you must first bless me. So others are just being held up somewhere by Nebuchadnezzar, and they are not being blessed because they are holding someone's blessings.
That's interesting. Here's an aspiring entrepreneur. What would you say to them?
Wow. That's always the difficult part, because some they say, well, if you want to give up, give up. But aspiring, number one, know what you want. A lot of people just want to be entrepreneurs because of the zeros, but know exactly what you want, what you want to offer us as a public. Is your service or your item that you want to offer in the public fraternity something that we really, really need? Because if you look at now, we're having robotics, we're having 4IR. What is it that you can offer us that is in line and evolving with the days that we're living in? Once you have that, tap onto the market, and trust me, it's going to be difficult. It's never easy. But believe in yourself. I once preached somewhere and said the stars do not wait for you to comment on them that they are beautiful.
Mm.
They depend on their reflection of themselves and they shine out at night. Mm. So if you believe in yourself that you can give us the light to shine, please do so. Don't hesitate.
Yeah.
God is not going to leave nor forsake you.
Sure. That's beautiful. How can people get a hold of you for your services?
All right. You can get hold of us on 082-620-5364. That's my personal number. It's open 24 hours except from Friday to Saturday evening and Sundays. Of course, I'll be at the gym.
Yeah.
And obviously, the services that we offer, it's electrical installations from scratch. If you're building a house, if you're renovating a house, we are there. If you need fault finding or maintenance, we're there. If also maybe you're tired of load shedding, we are also there to give you an energy audit and give you the system that is perfect for what you need at that time, according to your budget also. So you can get us also on Facebook at Saiga Electrical, and also we are on Instagram at Saiga Electrical. Same, you'll find us there.
Thank you so much, sir. Really appreciate your time.
It is always a pleasure.
All the best. There you go. You can follow them on all social media platforms if you are in need of your services. Really appreciate your time. And for you aspiring entrepreneurs, those are words of wisdom right there.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.